causes males now, when they're presented with a female, to begin to sing high rates of courtship song. So they don't sing much when testosterone is low and day length is short. They coordinate everything so that they're singing when day length is long and conditions are optimal for breeding. And I should add, the way they know that this light is going through the skull is you could put a little cap on a bird so that the light can't get through the skull. And even though the sun is shining through the eyes, they don't respond. Okay, so their testosterone wouldn't increase. That's how they know that it goes through the skull and not through the eyes, which I think is fascinating. All right, so what about females? Well, females do sing during the breeding season, and one of the main reasons they sing seems to be to defend their mate and to defend their nest. They defend their mate. They don't want other females mating with their mates. That's one reason females sing. But most of the research focused on females focuses on their responses to male song. So male song is used to attract and stimulate females. So here we have a female starling, and she is checking out a male. There is a male in this nest box. He is singing high levels of courtship song, and she is considering mating with this male. And when she hears this song, actually, it causes her ovaries to grow, and she releases the hormone estradiol. Okay, so she hears the male song, stimulates her ovaries, and the estradiol then goes to her brain and increases sexual motivation. Right? So this coordinates female behavior, so that she is also mating and laying her eggs at a time when her chicks are likely to survive. So for some females, like starlings, they hear song and it causes them to approach. For other females, when they have high estradiol, they will actually enter a mating posture. Okay, they'll perform a copulation solicitation display. So that's something you may see if you are looking at spring and see birds mating. Okay. But females are choosy, so they will not mate with just any male. They listen carefully to the song, and they select mates very carefully. And the reason it's thought that females are choosy is because it's energetically costly to reproduce. They have to invest energy in producing these large eggs, and both males and females in songbirds tend to take care of the eggs. But just producing the eggs is costly, so females want to pick a high-quality male. So females, it turns out, across species that have been studied, they tend to prefer males that are singing local song dialects. They prefer males that are singing long, complex songs. And they also prefer to mate with males that are singing at really, really high rates. So why? What do females get out of a male that sings a lot of highly complex song in a local song dialect? Well, it turns out that these different features of male song tell females about both a male's early condition and about his current condition. So, with respect to a male's early condition, it turns out that developmental stress can interfere with song learning. So, what we're looking at here are two fledgling robins. On the left, you have a very healthy young robin. This robin grew up where there's plenty of food available, plenty of water available. It's not, you know, it doesn't have any parasites. It's not a sick bird. Okay, so here's a young bird that's raised under excellent conditions. And here we have a songbird that was raised under impoverished conditions. It's got parasites. It might be sick. There's not much food or water available. It turns out that the developmental stress will interfere with song learning. So this bird is listening to its father produce song, and it's got the template, but it practices a song. It never accurately matches the song template. So in a way, it has a regional dialect. It has a dialect that doesn't match the geographic region where it's developing. And so females, when this male grows up and sings its song, it's not going to be a great song. It doesn't perfectly mimic its father's song. Females will not prefer to mate with this male. This male will grow up, and because it hasn't experienced developmental stress and it's in great condition when it's young, it will produce a very accurate mimic of its father's song. Okay, so this is how females benefit, by selecting males that sing song that's very close to the regional dialect, because it indicates that they're mating with a male that at least was in a great condition when it was young. Right, other features of song tell females about the male's current condition. So how is he doing right now? If she listens to the song, is he healthy right now? So if he mimics the song really well, you know he was healthy when he was young. But right now, different features of song will tell the female if the male is healthy. So singing is thought to be costly. It requires energy to produce song. And when birds are singing, they're not doing other things. They're not eating, they're not nest building. And it also puts them at risk for predation. They're singing, they're making themselves very visible while they're singing. So there are costs associated with singing. And what that means is only healthy, high-quality males can produce high-quality songs. So low-quality males, maybe males that are infested with parasites, males that aren't eating or getting enough water, these low-quality males, they simply cannot cheat and sing high-quality songs. So it is said that song is an honest indicator of male quality. So I'm not suggesting females are consciously making these decisions, but over time, females that preferred males that sang high levels of song, if they mated with them, their chicks were more likely to survive. Okay, and then their chicks, you know, they would then prefer the same features of song, and this led to survival. So this is why females tend to prefer these long, complex regional dialects. All right, so we're moving on to another reason that birds sing, and that is to repel a competitor or to defend a territory.